Uptekayakuk is where he came from.
Your papa's great-great-grandfather. Uh-huh.
Grandfather. It's either grandfather or granduncle. You know, it's all the same to them. And their uncle, or they always call him their grandfather. Anyway, they go early in the fall. As soon as the snow flies, they go out to walk, because they live off the country. And there's very little fish in the summertime. They catch them in a trap and catch them in a fish net. And the fish net was made of bark, willow bark, twisted together. And they have to go near the creeks like Mlozi over there and put it across there. That's where they used to catch their fish. And they go out early. And this particular old man, grandfather, was real old, and he has a two young wife. I don't know if they were sisters, but anyway, they were two young girls. You know, they pick up young girls, all old people, until they drop dead. So this was his last pair, and this one took care of him. So they went out amongst the mountain, over around Indian Mountain someplace. I think that's where it was, because they were cross country and no snow and severe cold, and no, they couldn't get hold of beaver. They used to chop the creeks and get beaver in the fall time, early in winter, and they couldn't catch that. And I don't know what time of the year. Anyway, the days were too short. Must be around December maybe, or January, because Pop said it was really severe cold and people ran out of grub and couldn't get nothing. They try everything and couldn't get nothing. And this particular old man was supposed to be the big medicine man, but he was too old to help his people. So they camped this one place near these sheep mountains over there in Kaikuk, and they couldn't get nothing. The sheep was up in the mountains all right, but they couldn't get up there. They all got sick and started losing one another, you know, starving to death. And eat all their remains off of their snowshoes, off of their sleds. They cook those. Anything, just anything at all. They're really in a awful way, you know, starving. So they blame this old guy for this tragedy. They said if he died, well, they'll be better off. And he hear it so much, and he's no good for anything. He must have been way over 100 years old, because he couldn't walk, because the girl's taking care of him. He could hear and he could talk good. And finally, it got so that he hear it too many times, and maybe it was time for him to go, you know. There's always a particular time when they go. So he told his people, they said there's babies are dying off now. And they just fixed them up and put them on a cache. They couldn't do nothing. They were all too weak. So he told them to get closer to this mountain, down on the bottom, this big hill, and put up sturdy frames, you know, a dugout or something. They make spruce boughs houses, I guess, and covered it up with snow or something. And some of them had caribou teepees, but that's gone since they've been cooking all these stuff to eat. Some go up on the hills and pick some berries, you know, and they smash it up with some moss and things to eat for vegetation. So he told them where to go, try to get near these bottom these hills. So they did go. They all went there. Must be a whole bunch of them, the whole village. They build a big houses and moved in there and fix it so that, just like burying themselves, I guess. That's what they thought, you know, when the old man told them. So they wouldn't move no more, you know. And so the girls brought him over there, and he had his own place. He has a big place. They always have a nice place, and they always have a nice place for him, these girls. So after they got everything all settled and fixed up everything so that they wouldn't move no more. Well, they didn't believe him, since they were all starving to death and getting sick. And they didn't believe him, but anyway, they followed him. They done what he told them to. So one day, they went out. They went up on the hill, the ones that was able to walk. Nothing. Couldn't get nothing. Bare ground, not much snow, and the minute, you know, the caribou and things were just running around, and you can't get to them. And the river, the creeks were all froze up so hard that the beaver is gone, you know, they're underground, they can't get hold of them. So he told them to fix them up and get into his place, and they had a little meeting there, and he told them, after they talked and what they're going to do and all that, and he told them, from now on the days will get longer and you'll have better time, and don't do nothing until then, but try to survive as best they could. Don't move around too much. And he told the people to fix him up. Each one of the individual family have to make him something, you know, like mitts and moccasins and all those. Each one have to provide little, each one of the family. And if they have anything, if they have anything at all to cook, to bring it in there and let everybody share it, even if it's last thing. So they did fix them up. They cleaned them up and they make them all new stuff, and they brought them in there. They didn't know what was all about. The next morning, he told them, cut some wood. So they started cutting wood, and he told them where to put them. And they piled it up real high. So he told these girls, when he woke up in the morning, he woke up singing. And he told these girls to sing with him. And this song is my husband come back to provide for us, or something like that. se soroni no ni doye. Seko, seko means my husband. You te soroni no ni doye. I think it is a medicine song. And they were singing this. They sang it with him, the girls. And they got all through. They got all through building this fire. Then he told call them in. This must be awful early. They used to get up with the dawn, you know. And he told these people. He told these people that he's gonna get on that fire. This is the day he's gonna go. Well, they were so surprised. They all started crying. They didn't know that's what he wanted to do. They thought he was gonna go out there and try to make the spirit come and provide them, you know, make easy for these people. They didn't know that he was gonna get on that fire. Couldn't hardly walk. These girls always lead him around. So he told these people that he got this song. He woke up singing this song, and he told them that he's gonna go out and get on that fire, get on that wood pile. So they'll put caribou skin on top where he'll stand up, and they give him a cane. And after he gets up there to start this fire around that wood pile, and right at that time try to start singing this same song and go round and round on this and keep that going until the fire dies out. After he got up there. I guess they were just awful for them, you know. He got up there himself. He told them that he overheard them, that they're all starving to death and he's not going to be no good anymore. And they wouldn't kill him. He wouldn't allow it. And if they're going to watch him go, this is the only way, the easiest way for them, that they didn't have nothing to do with it, you know. He done it himself. He just, like Christ going to his cross, I guess. That's the only one that ever was like that. Well, he got on top of this fire, and they built a fire around him. And when that fire, when that flame enveloped him, you know, and fell in the middle, he was gone. Never made a move. He was up there with his canes, just standing up there, and never made a move until it caved in. And they kept it all day until sundown, I guess. They were going around and his fire was dying out. And he told them not to leave. Not to leave that fire until there's one little spark in the middle. And to watch that. And praise it, you know. Or pray to it, I guess, in their own way. They have a way of talking to the spirit. Like the church does. So these girls know how. So they talk to him. And when all that wood all burnt down and everything else, there was in the middle there, the middle of the ashes was one spark. It was getting dusk. It came out. And they started to look at it, and it went right straight up the hill, up in the sky. As far as they can see it, it disappeared, right straight up. So he covered the place up where he was. They covered the place up with some ropes, you know. They used to have some fur ropes and things like that, and skins, caribou skins and things like that for bedding. Well, they put that over that place, and he told them not to bother it, not let anybody walk around it. And he told them when they get through, well, they were all tired. So they just drop into their house and just went to sleep, I guess, slept for 2 days. When wind was blowing all right and snowing, somebody said it was snowing, but they were too tired. So they slept for, I guess, for 2 days. Well, one morning one of them got up and said something about on bottom of the hill. Another one came out and snowed and blowed so much that caribou came off of this hill, and it was just scattered all along the bottom on the edge of their camp, just the horns sticking out. So they went out, made a killing, and repair everything. You see, that place was I guess it was just like Calvary, just like cross. They go there and make sacrifice for years and years after that. Nobody never walk over it. But they go there to sacrifice something, little things, you know. They burn something and then talk to the place. Nobody hear them, I guess, but then they were just, that's their way of doing it. It's because Papa used to tell us this two, three different times. Because we criticize food. We wouldn't eat the same thing over and over. We didn't want to eat. Then that's how come Papa told us this.
What was your dad's name?
Big Joe. Gato Di Dach was his Indian name.
And where was he from?
From Kaikuk. He's from way up the Kaikuk. And then he was on the Yukon. It's made over there in the village, old village. Mrs. Brown, clear your throat. It's too bad we don't have no light. This is the way I'm going to stay all winter. I have to make a call all light. I'm just going to show you my doll's picture. For us, and we go cross country. And with dogs. That's 100 miles out there. I walked in that slushy weather in springtime. Of course, you don't know what that is, but wet snow, snowshoes in springtime of the year. And I walked that four different times. I walk all the way in. With dogs, but they can't hold nothing. It's slushy, wet, everything's wet. Go out there to hunt beaver.
You set your own traps?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Goodness. I wouldn't let Dad set trap for me, because he'd say, well, I set the trap for her. When I started killing, hunting, go hunting and trap, and I didn't want nobody to help me. Hmm. I'd do it my own.
How long was your trap line?
I don't know. The trap line that Dad used to go on is about 100 miles, I guess. At least about 60 miles, all told, you know. But from the camps, from the main camps, is you have a short line all over. That's where I done my killing. It's nothing for me to go cross country a few years back, 11 years ago, last time I was out. I'd take off here and a plane land me over there, and I'll stay over there 4.5 months sometime, 3 months at the time, if I wanted a new boat or a new kicker or something big. I go out there and trap those.
Did you sell your furs yourself?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I sell them down the store. I get what I want. I always get what I want. That's the main thing.
Was this when the Northern Commercial Company had their store here in Ruby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another time, any other, John May, I guess, was running the store last time I was out, 11 years ago.
What kinds of animals did you trap?
I trapped beaver at that time. And there's 15 beaver. But you go out there and you just don't work on one house. You have to work on a lot of houses in order to get a big pelt. And I know how to do that. I know where to go. Yeah, we trapped for a long time. But we go out just like drunken sailors. I come along with him. We can invite it to Fairbanks or Ninan or someplace like that in jungle. Down Anchorage. We take off. The trap season's open. We just have a good time. And another funny thing is that I haven't had a drink yet of any liquor. Not yet. They keep me alive on a lot of heavy medication. But never had a drink. I told my son, he got killed 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, down Michigan. When he's going to get married, I said, if I happen to be there at the wedding, I'm going to take one drink. We bet on that. But I was sick the year he got married down at Mount Edgecombe, so down southeastern. So I didn't get to go. So I didn't have the drink. He's got 4 children. She's raising them, his wife. She is still a nurse. She's a big shot now, I guess. And 2 great grandchildren.
17 grandchildren?
Mm-hmm. And 2 great. So what little I produced, I got paid back with the grandchildren. I'm proud of them. There's a lot of people don't gain that much. You feel rich when you have, at my age, when you have grandchildren. Then you know what you've done with your life. I didn't have anything, no income, nothing when my husband died. But we didn't owe too much. I had to sell my fox skins, 53 of them. Cross fox and red fox. I had to sell that to pay up the bill. But after that, I didn't owe nobody. I didn't owe a cent. Never have. I just go without. But I had to make work like everything to make money for my boy when he was going to school. but he was pretty good boy. He done everything. And he was honored student. Both of them were, my daughter and my son, honored student from Ruby. Something to be proud of. They're the only two from Ruby. Besides one girl, there's three. But since I've been here, there's only three that is honored student.
How long have you been living here in this house above Ruby?
In this house since 24. Yeah, we live in this house since 23. My husband bought this house. It used to be up there and across from the school, across the street there, mm-hmm. where that community center is.
Up on the hill.
Yeah, above there is where our house used to be. Then they moved it down here. It's been here ever since. It's tumbling down, just like myself, but it's okay. It's comfortable, still comfortable. Nothing wrong with it. I kept it up as much as I could, but this last 3 years, there's too many things happened to me, so. But I still do things when I get mad. I do most anything, because I know how to do it. The only thing they stopped me since they put this pacemaker is that no gun. I told the doctor, I said, there's no use living if I can't shoot. Because I get my own stuff to eat and all that. And I go out alone and I can't defend myself if I can't shoot. Though I never had no mishap all those years while I was out alone. I go out and stay out alone for so many months, no mishap. Not wonderful? Sometime I have dog team, sometime I didn't have nothing. I walk on snowshoes. And I walk for miles and miles. All day long. Go out 8 o'clock in the morning, come back 8 o'clock at night. Maybe I'll have a few bars of candy all day long. Never drink no water. Just walk. But when you're interested, you know what you're doing, that's the way it is. And I was always, regardless of how sick I get, I was always in a good shape. I had polio when I was a little girl. I never got crippled from it. My mother and my brother took care of me. And they cured me in their own, in her own way, old-fashioned way.
How was that?
They just massaged me, bathed me and massaged me every day until I got over it. Doctors, hospital here and two doctors, they used to come down to visit us, give me pills, which was, I guess, only pain pills. Mom wouldn't use it.
You said your mother used to believe in medicine men. Did she tell you any stories about how they would cure people?
They never did tell us. And we never seen performance. That's what, you know, the kids that doesn't stay in a, that's what happened to them when they don't be in a village. Because they put up performance, I guess. They put up a lot of bow wow and amongst themselves. They get together. But we never seen it. I never. And if you have a fractured legs or arm, they'd cut you with a little tiny knife. And that swelling will go down. Mommy used to do that to my sister, Rose. She used to even do that in her chest. And I guess it helps her, I don't know. Once I asked her to do it on my hip when my legs were on the bum. I was doubled up from October till March. with this polio. All the children up and down the Yukon had it. I was one of them. I wobbled for a year and a half. But my brother said, you'll never walk on the snowshoes if you're going to wobble. Boy, he was rough with me. But that's how I got over it. Used to put up poles in the house that I was supposed to exercise every day, hang on to those and catch it like a monkey. He was a wonderful. Papa used to get mad and put his clothes on and walk out. But they cured me. I never had no limp or nothing. No after effect. Maybe that's where my bad heart came from. I don't know. But the doctor said no. He said I must have had some kind of fever when I was small. But I was always sick. I remember I was always sick. I also had a weak heart, but for acting up and work like what I did, it really didn't. I could never done it if my heart was that weak. I told him that too.
You were telling us earlier that you just pulled in your net today. Are you still working nowadays?
Oh yeah, whenever I could, whenever they don't stop me. I pulled my net out before her mother started hollering at me. she's a medic here, you know. She's a village aide. And she's supposed to take care of me. And, you know, she talks in the satellite all the time. And the doctor's always asking how I was and all that. The nurses was here not very long ago. And they even put my heartbeat on the satellite into Seattle. A few days afterwards, she called me in. She said, well, I heard your heart last night in Seattle. They're having a great time with me. I let them. I really don't have too much of a problem as it is. I can't do nothing. I know how much to take. I was still working, cutting wood and monkeying around. It's packing wood is what got me. I was just having a great time when I got sick. For the third time, I had a big heart attack. Sawing wood with chainsaw, when I used to buck him with sweet saw, was tough. But with chainsaw, there's nothing. Goodness. I used to go over there and even split them, nod some on both sides of those, and then I hit him with a sledgehammer, and we'd fall to pieces. Great big blocks. No, I done a lot of work. I was just ornery enough to do it because I didn't want to get married again. I don't want people to say anything to me. They were all hollering, you know, and this would be a picnic for them. If I'd let them, I guess. Yeah, look how much they could drink on.
How long have you been doing beadwork?
Ever since I was a kid.
Did you learn from your mother?
No, yes. She used to let us have what we need. But things come to children naturally those days. Sewing is what I did quite a bit. I think I just sewed the 48 state together. But I can't never tell what I made. I'd be crazy if I tried to. These people would tell you something about they made four boots or seven slippers or something like that. Well, maybe that's all they did all their life. But like I sewed year round, if I can't do nothing much otherwise, I have to sew. And I never sew just to be sewing. I always have orders. My orders comes here. Then I have to fill them out. And that's where beadwork and my sewing, fur sewing and all that. I haven't done anything for quite a long time since I have trouble. But I still like to do beadwork. It's just my life. It's just, you can't give those up.
What kinds of things do you make?
Oh, a lot of beadwork, like slippers and mitts and a lot of little things. I made dolls. I haven't made dolls for about 5 or 6 years, I guess. It's all made, you know, all homemade. Body and everything. Got moose skin for the face and calf skin was for the hair and just looked just like any dolls. Beadwork on its face. And then it's got all clothes in old fashioned.